Now, the text that we're going to take a look at is John 19, 31 to 42. Now, we need to know some of these technical things in order to understand this passage a little bit better. First, we look at what is known as the preparation day. Technically, it is called Sabbath day preparation. That actually would mean Friday, because this is how it was done. So everything must be cleaned up, prepared for the celebration of the Sabbath, which begins on our Friday evening. Well, so this would be Friday. Now, according to the Jews, if there is anyone hanging out there, that means the person is being cursed by the Lord. So if there is a curse of the Lord, then it will affect the mood of celebrating the Sabbath. And so they do not like to see anybody hanging up there on the cross. No one should be killed on that day, and no one should be hanging on the cross on that day too. So this is where it began. Now, this is a thought that they wanted to see done. So this was a request. The Jews came to ask Pilate, and they said to him, well, we can't have a prisoner hanging on the cross because the next day is Sabbath, or the evening would be Sabbath. Now, how can they hasten death? So one of the ways in which they could be done would be that they will ask the soldiers, and with a big club or plank or whatever they use, and they would literally break the legs of the prisoners up there on the cross. Breaking of legs would be a very excruciatingly painful experience. That would actually send a tremendous surge of pain to the heart. And it is very likely that the person can suffer from heart failure, and then the person will die soon after. Well, that was the idea. The breaking of the legs was meant to be an exercise that would hasten the death of whoever is hanging on the cross. Right? This would be how they would. Now, this was a kind of a cruel way of doing it. But remember, crucifixion was meant to be a very slow death. A person can be hanging on the cross for 2 days, 3 days, or longer, depending upon the physical strength of endurance. But if you break the legs of the person up there on the cross, death will come soon after. The pain will be too intense to bear for the hearts. So when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, the soldiers were watching and seeing how things went. So soldier would come to the first cross, and then they broke the legs of the first, and then of the other who was crucified with him. When they came to the Lord Jesus, they saw that he was actually already dead. And of course, they did not break his legs. Well, this is an important thing to take note of. We'll see why shortly. So one of the soldiers, wanting to be very sure that the Lord Jesus was dead, he took his spear, and then what he did was he thrust it into the side of the Lord Jesus. Now, that is one of those fatal thrusts that soldiers are trained to do. When they get into hand-to-hand combat, one of the thrusts that they learn is to strike the enemy through the soft part of the body, and then will actually enter into the heart and lungs. And when you pull out that spear, the heart would be obviously destroyed, the lungs would be affected, and you will see water coming out of it as a clear sign of death. And so there he was, the Lord Jesus was pierced on the side, and blood and water came out. So they knew that he was in fact dead. right? And so he who had seen has testified. His testimony is true, right? He knows that he is telling the truth. So this is actually the remark of John as a writer. Now, he could say that because he was there at the scene. He saw this happening. He saw the legs of the thieves broken. He saw the side of the Lord Jesus pierced. And so he wrote in testimony. And he says his testimony is true because he knows himself that he is telling the truth so that people who read his testimony may believe. Now, the question is, why was this stated at all? Well, the Lord Jesus had to die on the cross. That was already foretold. What about the side that was pierced? Now, that was a pretty amazing part of it. Well, let's take a look at this idea. For example, not one of his bones shall be broken. John 19:36. This is a fulfillment of Psalm 34 and verse 20. Psalm 34, David as a writer wrote what's known as a messianic psalm. And so there he noted that those who trust in the Lord, not one of his bones shall be broken. And this actually happened. So that's quite amazing. You would think that the soldiers would just break all the legs of all who was hanging up there to, you know, why bother? Well, that was not true. He was prevented, or the soldiers were prevented from breaking the legs of the Lord Jesus because the Lord had already said, not one of his bones shall be broken, and the word of God will stand because it was thus prophesied. And then in John 19:37, they shall look on him whom they pierced. This was actually a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And that is a pretty amazing prophecy. Did Zechariah understand it? No. Did the people who listened to what he said or read what he had written, would they actually understand it? And the answer is again, no. But John looked at it and suddenly he remembered that, in fact, these were prophecies that were being fulfilled. Now, that is actually quite amazing. Now, what about the burial of the Lord Jesus? Now, among the Jews, the burial of a person is just as important as the death, dying in dignity. So, for example, when King Ahab was rebuked by the Lord's prophet Elijah, and Jezebel too, his word to them was that the dogs will lick the blood of Ahab and Jezebel. And that means to say that they will die a very undignified death. Right? Imagine having your blood being licked by wild dogs or roaming dogs out there in the street. That's really a tremendous indignity that is there. Well, how was the Lord going to be buried? One, he had no personal funds. The disciples had all disappeared. Where were all the people who were there? Nobody was there except a small group of people. The three Marys and John. Well, if you are going to give the Lord Jesus a dignified burial, it's going to take a lot more wealth to see that done. So we have two people whom the Lord raised up. One was called Joseph of Arimathea. The other one was called Nicodemus. And both of them approached Pontius Pilate. And so they were given permission to take the body of the Lord Jesus from the cross. And because Joseph of Arimathea was determined that he would give a decent burial to the Lord Jesus, he was going to put him in his own garden tomb, which is quite near the scene of the crucifixion. And so the Lord Jesus was brought down and he was wrapped with linen cloths. And then 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes were brought in. 100 pounds is a lot of weight to have myrrh and aloes brought in. This would be quite a princely cost of all of these things here. It was quite a princely sum of money spent. And so they would give to the Lord Jesus a very, very special burial. Now, as we take a look at these things here, well, John did not note this, but it is interesting to see how that this too was actually fulfilled. For example, we read in Isaiah 53. Now, that's important for us to take note of. How he was bruised, he was put to grief, right? And how all what he did, he would justify many, he would bear the sin, the iniquities of many. I think this is important for us to understand how it was. Okay? Now, we read in 53 verse 9, right? They made his grave with the wicked. He was, in other words, he died together among wicked, but with the rich at his death. So the Lord Jesus Christ was actually given a burial of a rich person. Joseph of Arimathea made sure he would be given a dignified burial. So John did not take note of this, but we may take note of this, that with the rich at his death. And that was important for us to take note of. So on the one hand, died with two thieves. They were wicked people. On the other hand, with the rich Joseph of Arimathea, and this too was fulfilled. Now, as we take a look at this particular passage, we cannot help but to be moved by how the Lord Jesus Christ faced his suffering and his death. He had anticipated his suffering. He called it his hour. And he says, sometimes my hour has not yet come. Or sometimes he would say his hour had come. He had prayed that his death will bring glory to the Father. And this is how he faced his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. What about the Lord's disciples? Unfortunately, they did not have the same knowledge, they did not have the same confidence, did not have the same faith and trust. The suffering of the Lord Jesus, when revealed to them, was difficult, very hard to accept. His resurrection was something they struggled with. They found it very hard to fully believe in it. To him, his death meant the end of everything that he lived for, that he stood for. But as we look at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how John talk about fulfillment of the scriptures, then our challenge must be to seriously understand and appreciate the significance and the power of the scriptures. John noted, and we have added Isaiah 53, verse 9, to the fulfillment of the scriptures. The reality of it all is that scriptures will be fulfilled one way or another. The struggles of the disciples was that they really found it hard to understand the scriptures, let alone believe. And that faith was badly lacking. And we must ask ourselves as we read the scriptures, as we study the scriptures, one, do we understand the scriptures? Two, do we actually believe in the scriptures? Can we really, truly say, scriptures will be fulfilled simply because they are scriptures? And this is something that we must challenge ourselves to consider. As we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, as we read about his teachings, we read about how he suffered, died, and now the resurrection. We must ask ourselves seriously, how much of that do we understand? How much of that we actually believe? And how much of that can we really say, this is fulfillment of the scriptures? And our challenge in the studying of the scriptures must be such that our faith in the scriptures will always be strong, will be firm, will be steady, and we look forward to the day when the scriptures will be fulfilled. May our faith in the Lord and His word become stronger and deeper as we study John 19. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that our faith in the Lord Jesus, our faith in the scriptures, will be further strengthened, and we will be able to truly believe, as we should, that all that you have said, whatever you have thought, it will be fulfilled. Whatever you have said, it would be done. Teach us to have this kind of faith in the scriptures. We give thanks that the Lord Jesus lived his life in fulfillment of the scriptures. May we desire the same. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.